For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Anthony, we both saw The Unfortunates, a one-woman play over at Red Thread, but you got to go the night the author was there.
Yes, she did a talk back. It's the story of the last victim of the serial killer called Jack the Ripper in London in 1888. And Miss Stratford was fascinated by seeing the litany of items that were being carried by one of the victims of Jack the Ripper and began to think about the lives of these women, that we have no real idea of who the killer was. He was never found. There was a lot of press interference, a lot of mishandling of evidence at the time. But we knew everything about the women he killed, women working as prostitutes in London. And so this play is performed by Kelly Meg Brennan as Mary Kelly. Interestingly, it is the very anniversary of that specific murder. And she talks about her life, and she's speaking to a person we gather is the man who's going to kill her, but she's alone on the stage as she's speaking to him and trying to sell some items, trying to sell herself before she goes out in the night, hopefully, but we know, to her death. And it was intriguing, and people asking questions about how she came to write the play and what it was like writing this play, about what kinds of audiences it's had. She talked about one SUNY campus where it was a whole audience of forensic science students, criminal justice students, which sounded very interesting. It's being beautifully performed, and it's a very compelling monologue.
Kelly Meg Brennan was absolutely incredible. She plays at least 20 different characters in rapid-fire succession. Sometimes just a word of dialogue one side, two words on the other side, back and forth. Stays in the character for the seconds she has to, and back
on top
again.
Of that, she's not just playing them. She's playing Mary Kelly being them. And yet each is distinct. Each is completely clear.
Wow.
It's a beautiful performance.
I last saw her in Dinner with Friends over at Road Less Traveled, and she was effective in that one role. I had no idea she had these acting chops.
Oh, and she sings, too.
Yeah. I'm going, but you've already been. Tenderly, the Rosemary Clooney musical.
Chock-a-block full of wonderful Rosemary Clooney hits and the story of the pain, the heartache of Rosemary Clooney's life, which I was interested that a lot of the audience seemed not to be aware of. Troubles with depression, with alcohol, with men.
So she's sort of a Judy Garland character.
Yeah, but you get Debbie Pappas, who has a lovely voice, singing the Rosemary Clooney songbook, some of which is quite nice and some of which is, of course, very hokey. But Rosemary Clooney herself when an audience member asked her if she'd sing How Much Is That Doggy in the Window,
right,
said that was Patti Page. You just think it was me because it's a lousy song, because she had to do so many novelty numbers. But she sings some gorgeous standards, and of course the song Tenderly is lovely.
Did they mention George Clooney during the show?
Not once.
We both saw Mrs. Warren's Profession first this summer up at the Shaw Festival. And then it got moved, complete set, actors, except for one sub, to Shea, 710 Main. I thought it worked. I liked it actually better in the slightly larger theater.
Well, I liked it very much, too. I liked it again. I love Nicole Underhay as Mrs. Warren. I think she's doing a brilliant job. And I think this is such an exciting venture and a great place from which to build, to be able to populate that stage once again with meaningful material. It's going to take a while to rebuild the audience. I think a lot of the audience for important dramatic works has gone to other theaters, and the Shea's musical audience is not a complete overlap with people who would like to see George Bernard Shaw, but it is a first-rate production of a very wonderful play, Mrs. Warren's Profession.
Well, it certainly can't be the location, because when I went to see An American in Paris at Shea's Performing Arts Center, which is, half a block from 710, the place was packed, and obviously there is something real happening in the theater district that theater, Shea's, can pack them in when the production is the right one. And my gosh, this is the right production.
An American in Paris.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's rare to see that caliber of dancing, balletic dancing, in a musical anymore. It's beautiful, beautiful done with performers, principals who had played the roles on Broadway.
And the sets, I've seen a lot of projected sets, but these were special. Everything was in motion, either the actors, the sets, or both at the same time.
Very inventive use of projections. Frequently you see projection as just, slog. Here's a picture.
Right.
Here's another one. But why they were using projections made total sense as the images just evolved and Paris bloomed in front of you. Beautifully, beautifully done.
As I said to my wife, hey, if you can't get Lin-Manuel Miranda, George Gershwin ain't a bad substitute.
Not a bad substitute there, yeah. Even an inspiration to Mr. Miranda.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.